हरि
सहनावतु सहनाभुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तमविद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, so page 156. Prahlad Maharaj continued. Lord Brahma could then see you possessing thousands and thousands of faces, feet, heads, hands, thighs, noses, ears, and eyes. You are very nicely dressed, being decorated and bedecked with varieties of ornaments and weapons. Seeing you in the form of Lord Vishnu, your symptoms and form being transcendental, your legs extending from the lower planets, Lord Brahma achieved transcendental bliss. My dear Lord, when you appeared as Hayagriva, with the head of a horse, you killed two demons known as Madhu and Kaitava, who are full of the modes of passion and ignorance. Then you delivered the Vedic knowledge to Lord Brahma. For this reason, all the great saints accept your forms as transcendental, untinged by material qualities.
We were talking the other day about how stating facts does not impress Krishna.
Yes.
Is this not what he's doing here?
Have we gotten to the end of the discussion?
Fair enough.
Because they stated facts and ended them.
And then this, yeah.
That's the whole point.
So he's getting to something.
He's getting to something, but also you see in this, he's pointing out the position of the different people. Mm. You know, he's talking about Lord Brahma, not just talking about himself. Brahma talks about what trouble he had. Yakshas talk about their trouble. Everyone talks. He's talking about Krishna's position, but from giving example of other devotees and positions.
Like so that. He doesn't figure into it as...
Not as such. That means, of course, the point is facts are fine as long as the devotion is there. Like that. And so we know that some devotion is there, but it's not on the same level as we see what Prahlad Maharaj is. You know, because that's why... You know, because Brahma's offered his prayers. Everybody's offered their prayers, and it still is not working.
Not
so
really.
That is kind of like... You know, yes. You give it your best shot, you know. Okay. The point is, he's 5 years old. If he blows it, you know, no one will say anything, you know.
Exactly. That's a good point.
Okay. Srila Prabhupada comments, modern demons think that there was no life in the beginning of creation, right? Just a chunk, right? But from Srimad Bhagavatam, we understand that the first living being created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead was Lord Brahma, who is full of Vedic understanding. Unfortunately, those entrusted with distributing Vedic knowledge, such as the devotees engaged in spreading Krishna consciousness, may sometimes be attacked by demons, but they must rest assured that demoniac attacks will not be able to harm them, for the Lord is always prepared to give them protection. Since the demons are always ready to oppose Vedic civilization, they are sure to be killed by the transcendental form of the Lord. Right? So there's always going to be opposition. If Lord Brahma, who's the most pious and the first living entity, has Madhu and Kaitava to deal with, right? Then why wouldn't we end up with a bit of trouble? Right? You know, it's just, it happens, right? Trouble happens, so we shouldn't worry about that. Also, they were just talking about position, but he's talking about how nicely he's dressed and everything like that. And does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's
he's conveying his emotion.
Yeah, but it's more kind of like the personal rather than formal.
Yeah.
That's the point. So it's not that these elements aren't there, but it's just that it's only on that. So facts are a nice... You start with facts and then go up and like this. But the others would generally tend to leave it at that point.
And we say with the demigods, there's this element of trying to maybe impress a little bit with the prayer, or like
that's of, there. You know. The general thing is I wouldn't take it that far.
No.
It's like who are we to make these kind of comments? Because they're trying to appease the Lord, so they're trying really hard. But having tried, it's not, because he's angry about the demon harassing the devotee. So that devotee that's been harassed, when he comes, then we have it. It works better.
Yeah.
Prahlad Myers continues. In this way, my Lord, you appear in various incarnations as a human being, an animal, a great saint, a demigod, a fish, or a tortoise, thus maintaining the entire creation in different planetary systems and killing the demoniac principles. According to the age, O my Lord, you protect the principles of religion. In the age of Kali, however, you do not assert yourself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore you are known as Triyuga, or the Lord who appears in three yugas. Footnote 41. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns this verse to Bhagavad Akramichi Mala, Chapter 4, entitled The Factual Truth of Krishna, Bhagavat Sarupa Tattvam, which is in the Sambandha section of the Thakur's book. So, Sambandha is fine, but the idea is generally it comes with Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. Right? Because they're talking about, you know, this demon came, he stopped us, we could not do our service. And now that you've killed so kindly killed the demon, now we'll be able to do our service again. But did any of them get as much trouble as Prahlad Maharaj? No. And did Prahlad Maharaj's service ever stop? This is the difference. You know what I'm saying? You can compare on that level. We don't compare on our level. You know? Or be careful in an open field on a day with lightning.
Yes.
Hey, isn't that the guy who said...
So why is this Sambandha?
Sorry?
Why Bhaktivinoda Thakur asserts this verse to Sambandha?
Because he's mentioned he appears in various incarnations like that to destroy the demoniac principles. Right? And that also so that's all the other yugas in the Kali Yuga, then he doesn't assert himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he's there, but he doesn't bring that aspect out. Right? So generally, one of the simplest ways of saying it is in the other three yugas, he's coming in Vishnu Murtis, but in the Kali Yuga, he's coming as a Shakya Veshavatar. And so then, yes, people will say, okay, yes, so he's Tri Yuga, right? But then the other aspect is that even if he does come as Lord Chaitanya, he still doesn't assert himself. And he is coming as Vishnu, and not only as Vishnu, as the original Swarup. Right? So he's coming as part of us, but he's not coming just as Vishnu. Right? So the principle, he doesn't assert himself as the Supreme Lord. In any case, even he's an incarnation, like we see Prithu Maharaj, who's the Shakti Veshavatar, he said he's the Lord. Right? And then, you know, when Indra was giving him trouble, he chased him all over the place. So, you know, he forced the earth to do her duties. He did all that stuff as the Lord. Right? I guess we get reminded why we're here. Yes, a word from our sponsor, yes. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, just as Hayagriva appeared for Brahma, other avatars have appeared for other devotees. You protect the planets and destroy those who torment the world. You appear yuga after yuga. Since you are covered in Kali Yuga, you are called Triyuga. You are covered because externally you show a different form and mood. You are well known in the other three yugas, but not in Kali Yuga. So here is pointing out that he's not saying these other things, well, actually Vishnu Tattva doesn't, because the point is the Shaktivesh, you don't really make that difference. You know, it's just for understanding how the Lord appears, then we say. Like that. You know, so that, does that make sense? Yeah. So the Swamsa means it's always less than the one is expanded from. Right? So the Shaktivesh is also Swamsa, but in a particular category. So they have a full potency in a particular category, like Pritumar is in administration. But so other aspects aren't there. But a Vishnu Tattva has the potencies in all areas. Right? So the manifestation will be the same. Yeah. In some sense. Srila Jiva Goswami writes in his Tattva Sandarbha text 1. Prahlad Maharaj refers to Lord Chaitanya when he says in Srimad Bhagavatam 7.9.38, Channa kalau yad abhavas triyugo ta sa tvam. O Lord, your incarnation in Kali Yuga is hidden or confidential, and therefore you're called triyuga, right? So one is, we're saying, is hidden, but the other is saying it's confidential. Because the Lord's pastimes, well, one, the Lord is always hidden. Who understands he's in the heart? Who knows he's in between every atom? How many people see he's in everything? So in that way, he's always hidden. So then here is an incarnation that should be known, but is not. So therefore, there's also the aspect of confidential.
In CC, Prabhupada makes the comment that if Mahaprabhu was not hidden, we'd have millions of fake Mahaprabhus all over because people's consciousness is there.
That's there. Even Mahaprabhu is there, then there's other sampradayas that call the head of their line Mahaprabhu.
Yeah, yeah.
Because otherwise, who uses the term Mahaprabhu? No one.
Yeah.
But because they were contemporaries, yeah, and then there wasn't, it didn't work out so well. So the disciples tend to create these. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The two individuals, they may get along or not get along, but they can work it out. But the disciples, they always create the us and them kind of things. So then, you know. So yeah. So
yeah. Yeah.
Therefore you're called Triyuga, one who incarnates in three yugas, namely Satya, Treta, and Dwapara. Here the word Channa, covered, also signifies that Lord Chaitanya is Lord Krishna, covered by the mood and complexion of Sri Radhika. So it's not they don't know these things, they just don't talk about, because the Lord comes hidden or confidential, so they leave it confidential. They don't kind of like, you know, make too many announcements.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. Sorry?
Who are they?
They?
They know it's confidential, they don't.
Devotees, like Prahlad Maharaj. Yeah. Yeah. Does that make sense? Also, you have the aspect as if he comes like this, then we can all say, okay, we can follow that.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, oh, he's God, he can do that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So it's the acharyas, then they come and they do what we do. Right? You know, they grow up, they get spiritual masters, they take up the process, they function in different capacities as householders or renunciates, just as Prabhupada set an example. Otherwise, it's, oh, well, they can do that, we can't. You know? We do that anyway, of course. You know, we're Westerners, we can't do all that kind of stuff, you know. You know, it says, you know, we can't eat this non-American food and all that. And, hey, what are you going to do tonight? I know this great Lebanese place, you know, like that kind of thing. Yeah. Yeah. The main point is they go to a Lebanese place in America, but not to a Lebanese place in Lebanon. Yeah, that you have to... Yeah, that's another thing. Yeah. Prahlad Maharaj continued.
They went to Lebanon and then they ordered mac and cheese.
Now that would probably be, they'd probably go, oh, finally. Some real food. Yeah. Yeah. No? Yes. Yeah. I'm still impressed that outside of America, McDonald's is a family restaurant.
Is it?
Yeah. They have these big things and sit down and a whole thing. I mean, at least what I remember, it was just a fast food place that sold junk food.
Yeah.
You know, and so now it's all like a, you know, high class everywhere else.
And tablecloths?
I don't know if they do tablecloths, but they try to make some nice arrangements and things for kids. And
what happened in the 80s was that American culture was very popular in Europe, basically. So then there was like, there was a new thing.
Oh,
and
okay.
They tried to keep riding that wave by, you know, designating themselves as a family restaurant, having like play areas, trying to spice it up a little bit.
Okay.
And it's not completely working.
Okay, it's not working. Okay.
They're still not fooled.
Okay.
No, not completely.
Okay. But maybe only in India, right?
E for effort.
I don't know if I'd go that far. now we're pushing.
But in Israel,
we
have vegetarian stuff.
Matt, McDonald's.
Yeah. Kosher. Should be kosher.
Kosher. Okay, do they have vegetarian American McDonald's?
No, Denmark, they also have some things.
Because a cheeseburger should be kosher.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you can't.
That's why they couldn't enter for so long.
Because they're not kosher.
Yeah, now they are. So they're vegetarian.
Okay. So they understood what was the most important part of the cheeseburger. It was the cheese,
yeah,
the burger, right? Okay, yeah, yeah. So that they make vegetarian, and then you put the
kosher, just hamburger.
Yeah, but instead of soy cheese, forget that. They keep the cheese and change the burger. Okay, I can appreciate that.
That's taking it too far. Soy cheese, it's not as popular.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. No,
kosher cheese.
Yeah. Okay. Prahlad Maharaj continued, "My dear Lord of the Vaikuntha planets, where there is no anxiety, my mind is extremely..." Okay. "My dear Lord of the Vaikuntha planets, where there is no anxiety, my mind is extremely sinful and lusty, being sometimes so-called happy and sometimes so-called distressed. My mind is full of lamentation and fear." Why sometimes so-called happy and sometimes so-called distressed? Because the same situation for someone else, it would be the opposite. And if we actually are happy, it should maintain, but it doesn't. It goes away. Like, as in the spiritual world, happiness, it's, you know, there eternally. Right? And for the transcendental distress, Krishna comes as Lord Chaitanya to taste that, so it must not be all that bad.
Yeah.
"My mind is full of lamentation and fear, and it always seeks more and more money. Thus it has become most polluted and is never satisfied in topics concerning you." This is also something that we don't see anybody else, none of the demigods saying. They're not saying that I'm not really qualified.
No.
They're not necessarily saying I am qualified, but they're not saying I'm not. Yeah. "I am therefore most fallen and poor. In such a status of life, how shall I be able to discuss your activities?" Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. "Constantly appearing, you shower the nectar of your form, qualities, and pastimes. But my sinful mind does not take pleasure in this. It has fallen in the hole of material enjoyment. What shall I do?" This is expressed in three verses. "My mind does not take pleasure in topics of your form, qualities, and pastimes. Why do you not..." Okay, and then... Is this one that it got missed?
Yeah, I guess I missed it. Where it got,
no, something. Because I kind of thought a few of them more were like that, but that might be in the Tattvasandarbha.
Maybe.
I mean, excuse me, in the Vedanta Sutra. Because also...
Generally, I do it. Sometimes some of the things I put in get...
You know, oh, okay.
Maybe I missed this one.
Okay.
But who's saying this?
Sorry?
Who's saying this?
That's what he was putting in to make it clear who said what, like the last one. But whatever you see in parentheses will be the other person. You know, whatever it is. You know, either it's whoever's starting the conversation will be the opposite. So this is Prahlad Maharaj is saying, and then why do you not enjoy these tasty topics? That would be Krishna, you know, or Nrisingadev. "The mind is polluted by sin, just as the tongue is spoiled by jaundice and cannot taste sweetness. It is hard to control. How can I understand the truth about you in this mind having desire for wealth?" then he's saying, Vishwanath's saying, Prahlad's mind is not actually like this, but this attitude arises from humility and the variegated waves of prema. Right? So they're just various, that means the sanchari bhavas and all these different things, they bring up all these different flavors. So he'll feel like that because the form is one. You understand? The form, the action is one thing. But now, depending upon what mood you have, that takes you all the way from hell up to the earth, up to the heavenly planets, into Vaikuntha, Dwarka, Mathura, into Braj, the five different rasas, the secondary rasas. You understand? It's the same activity. So therefore, since it's the same activity, then depending upon the mood you're in, you could interpret it that it's actually something lower. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
We're looking at it. No, he's doing something wrong. But the point is we're used to wrong is actually, you know, downright sinful. Right? Another word for this. Actually went better after the kirtan. Kirtan went by then. No, he's a better Javisi. Just for variety, he sings in different forms. Tops that will be non-different from the deities. So, from the Vedic standard, following all the... Last time they went by, they went the other way a tractor went. Now they come back and then there's a tractor going the other way. So they time. You know, the guys in the Goshal, hey, the Harinam's coming, quick, get the tractor. So they just wait around the corner and, okay.
For whatever reason.
Yes. So, in the Vedic, it's pointing out that being involved in karma kanda, you're doing all the things recommended by Shastra, behaving properly, doing it all, but the mentality is fruitive. So therefore, that's the point of being absorbed in wealth. Right? So that's the point. What we take is, no, you have to be out doing something really nasty.
Yeah.
You know, and then that's bad. Right? Then the other thing, so that's one aspect. So the activity looks the same. So he's doing activities that would be the standard Vedic activities. So he's just interpreting that his motive is this. Another thing that is important that, you know, it's coming up now, it's starting now, but in 11th canto it's kind of like Krishna puts everything on the table and just says, this is what's what. So there he says, piety means it's Krishna conscious. And impiety means it's not Krishna conscious. So even you're following all the Vedic rules and that, doing everything properly, if you're not Krishna conscious, according to the actual Bhagavad standard, you're sinful. Because it's God's creation, you're supposed to be doing it in connection with the Lord. Right? Yes.
If you take this, according to the three levels, you usually say Bhagavad, Pancharatra, and Vedic. So according to Bhagavad, that would be impious. According to Pancharatra and Vedic, that would still be impious. Even though not.
It's those that you would say is that what's recommended are those things that are ekayana, means from the Veda. See, is you have the Bhagavat, so there it's all connected to the Lord. Then the Pancharatrik system is also the same thing connected to the Lord, but ritualized so that we follow a standard. Right? Because in the spiritual world, that's basically happening from the spontaneous platform. Not necessarily spontaneous meaning rag as opposed to vaidhi, but it just means that they're spontaneously absorbed in serving the Lord. Right? Because even the paths of Vaidhi, the Vaikuntha Wallas, they'll talk about the spontaneous platform, where you like doing that for Krishna. So in that way, that is an aspect of rag. But the point is it's still within the context of majesty. Well, in Braj, that will be in the not in that context. Right? So we generally take it the one way, but it's a more generic. The Vedic means you're taking all the activities of bhakti, but means that reflected form, but now you're breaking it apart in different combinations so that you can accommodate all the different mentalities. There's the main recommended, but then there's beyond that. So because that's such a wide range, then of that which is specifically directly focused or in support of focus on Vishnu, that's what's lifted from the Veda, and that's what's Pancharatra. You understand? So the Pancharatric system is the Vedic system, but it's the parts of the Vedic system that are directly towards Vishnu. So things that are outside of direct but could be indirectly connected to Vishnu, that's all in the Vedic system. But it's that way so that those who don't want to connect it to Vishnu, they also have faith in Scripture. And from that, then with time, they can become detached, and from that detachment, possibly take up devotional service. So either in the process of karma, they could come across Brahmins who will do their rituals who are Vaishnavas, or when they come to the platform of Gyan, they'll come across renunciates who are Vaishnavas and then hear something. Right? Just like Prakashananda Saraswati. How did he hear about transcendental subject matter? It means actual, about devotion. Does he happen to be walking down the street one day? And
no.
No? Okay. They see Lord Chaitanya, who is a sannyasi. But he's doing kirtan and hanging out with all these, non-sannyasis and all that, so they think it's a little weird. So they, being from Varanasi, because Varanasi in north is like that, it's like, for the Mayavadis, it's like Rome, like that. That's their place, And so then he means Mayavadi sannyasis, and pandits. If it's Mayavadi sadhus, that'll be Hrishikesh, but the sannyasis, it'll be there. So they're there, and so they call him to speak, because he's a sannyasi, right? So they call him in. So because he's a sannyasi, that's why they're inviting him. And then from inviting him, if he had been a grihastha, they wouldn't have invited him. You understand? So they follow their process, and because of that, then they'll invite. So the grihasthas will be inviting Brahmins. They also might invite, sannyasis for, to feed or charity, but the Brahmins will come to do their rituals, because karmakanda means rituals. And the sannyasis, then they'll invite other sannyasis, they'll discuss Vedanta. Does that make sense? So in that process, they might come across a devotee, but it's not guaranteed. Right? So that's why if they're following it, there's a better chance than if they're not. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? It's like a devotee was walking down the street somewhere in the south, and like that, and then somebody in the house, a concerned citizen, saw him, came out with a shotgun, got him to lay face down on the lawn, called the police, had him taken away because he thought he was some weirdo.
That's South United States, South.
Yes,
South
of course.
India.
No, not South India, not South of France.
The story took a turn.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's why I'm... Please. I got it.
You have to judge the company. Okay. Does that make sense? Okay, so the whole point is that the actual standard is Bhagavat. Supportive of that is Pancharatric, supportive of that is Vedic. But the whole purpose is actually to function on the Bhagavat platform, or at least progressionally you're supposed to move in that direction. Right? But it's not that people do. So if those who are not, that's technically considered sinful. But at least they're following recommended activities, but their mentality is sinful. So he's talking about his mentality. My mind is extremely sinful and lusty. He's not saying, I'm doing all kinds of sinful and lusty stuff. Mm-hmm. Right? He's five. You know, he's not out back when no one's looking, throwing rocks through other people's windows. And, you know, that's one thing they don't have to worry about is somebody toilet papering your tree. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. One advantage of the heavenly planets, you know, and if they throw water on the tree, you know, but that's good for the tree. So. Yeah.
Although Krishna did used to pee on the floor, which might be worse than toilet paper. Right? Mm-hmm. Well, no, it's Krishna's pee.
Yeah, pretty good pee.
Yeah, well, I think we'll move on. Okay. I think we've taken this tangent as far as we can.
Sorry about that.
Okay, Prahlad Maharaj continued. So do we understand his method of what he's saying about sinful?
Yeah.
So how he can say, so he's not saying I'm doing all these bad things, so he's just saying that just to set example. He can actually interpret it like that. Because he's performing all the activities that the karmis perform in Karmakanda. So he's doing his lifestyle technically, you know, by activity is the same as all the other demons. Right? Though he's always remembering Krishna, so he could interpret it that I'm absorbed I'm materialistic. Does that make sense?
Rajmila Thakur does the same thing in his songs sometimes.
Yes. So that's the point he's saying, that this attitude arises from humility in the variegated waves of prema. So on that platform of prema, they'll see like this in so many ways. So they're not just saying it. You know, it's not like the two brahmacharis trying to touch each other's feet, and each one's more humble than the other one. You know, not that one. You know, though it's good, clean fun, but yeah, we're different.
A little bit beyond that.
Yeah. Prahlad Maharaj continued. My dear Lord, O infallible one, my position is like that of a person who has many wives, all trying to attract him in their own way. For example, the tongue is attracted to palatable dishes, the genitals to sex with an attractive woman, and the sense of touch to contact with soft things. The belly, although filled, still wants to eat more, and the ear, not attempting to hear about you, is generally attracted to cinema songs. Looks like there's always been cinema songs. So you can just imagine what kind of home theater that Hiranyakashipu had. Right? Yeah. Probably he didn't even have the recorded soundtrack. He just has Gandharva singing it in the background. Right? You know?
Yeah. And the Nagas are just projecting
into the projector. Well, he probably the Nagas like that, and that, or he just has them doing it live. Right? Yeah, why would you go for a movie when they can do it live? Yeah, home theater. The sense of smell is attracted to yet another side. The restless eyes are attracted to scenes of sense gratification, and the active senses are attracted elsewhere. In this way, I am certainly embarrassed. So the idea is each one is going off in a different direction. Sometimes they may cooperate, sometimes not, but the whole point is it's going off for something mundane. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Though the mind is wicked, still people become successful by chanting my glories. Though my tongue for speaking and tasting is unsatisfied, it pulls me. So it means takes them away. O Achyuta, it is attracted to talking about material subjects and lies and to the sixth taste. The other senses pull me elsewhere, to women, to earning wealth, to beating others. Thus I have no time for chanting. Even though the chanting is so nice, he's saying I have no time, right? Prahlad Maharaj continued. My dear Lord, you are always transcendentally situated on the other side of the river of death. But because of the reactions of our own activities, we are suffering on this side. Indeed, we have fallen into this river and are repeatedly suffering the pains of birth and death, and eating horrible things. That's why it said here, the sense of smell is attracted to yet another side, right? You don't even get into details there because you don't want to know about it. Indeed, we have fallen into this river and are repeatedly suffering the pains of birth and death and eating horrible things. Now kindly look upon us, not only upon me, but also upon all others who are suffering. And by your causeless mercy and compassion, deliver us and maintain us. Oh, my Lord, O Supreme... So here also, eating horrible things. So what's horrible? Right? If we go by what we were saying, 11th canto definition, what's that? It means what's not connected to Krishna. So he can also be thinking that he's not thinking of Krishna while he's eating. He's thinking of the taste or other things like this and that. So can be that. It's not that Prahlad Maharaj is necessarily eating horrible things. Right? You know what I'm saying? Just yet. Yeah. Oh, my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, original spiritual master of the entire world, what is the difficulty for you, who manage the affairs of the universe, in delivering the fallen souls engaged in your devotional service? You are friend of all suffering, so it's not difficult for him to liberate a living entity, to situate and devote. That's easy for Krishna. It's just by his will it happens. Bhakti Devi is his servant. But the difficulty comes is for us, because what's the problem? Because technically for the soul to take up devotional service is also the natural and easiest thing. Right? But it's our attachment to the concept we'll control and enjoy, therefore we don't take an interest. That's the real problem. So we get in our own way. It's like tripping over your own shoelaces. Right? You don't even need a cat, right? You just...
Sometimes it is like very interesting when they're in the circumstance where everything takes up a weight in the world. And they're saying, it's only the circumstance. I myself, I'm very devotional, but the circumstance is such that I can't accept.
Yes, yes. And there means ideal circumstances are always recommended because then it's easier. There is less distraction. But at the same time, his devotional service can't be disturbed by anything material. So circumstances can't actually change the devotional service. Prahlad Maharaj is the example. But we, because we're conditioned, then if situations come up where we have an affinity for sense gratification there, then it's a matter we may become distracted. Right? So that's why it's recommended to avoid. But it's not that that's actually the cause. The actual cause is our own material desire. It means at least in that... Oh no, not as solid as Prahlad Maharaj. So if you put it that way, then very comfortably we can say no. Yeah.
But technically we are the ones holding on to Maya.
We're the ones holding on to Maya.
No, she's just presenting stuff for us to hold on to.
Yeah. See, that's all she does. She just.
The Maya is so strong.
It's that she's so clever.
Yeah, exactly.
She knows exactly what things will attract and at what time. Because if you're in a mood that you wouldn't be attracted by a particular thing, she will not show you that. She'll show you something else.
To get you.
Yeah. No. She's good. You know. You say. Point is unlimited limiting entities in one universe. Unlimited universes that have been around for unlimited time. Now you'd think she would be good, right? Yeah. So basically she can do this with her eyes closed. But she won't close her eyes because she wants to do a good job for Krishna. So. One personality, yes.
Like one, Swarup Shakti is one personality, and then Maya is one. But there are many Brahmas in each universe, is one. So she has representatives in each universe.
Yeah, it's like Paramatmas extend through everything. It's only, you know, technically it's only one. You know, it's just like, the example is given of you have 100 pots filled with water at noon, and you can see 100 suns. but there's only one sun. Like that. So, you know, Maya's one person, but she expands into it. She shouldn't be doing that?
No, I'm not. I've been wondering. Is it
one yes. Person? Yes. Just unlimited expansion. Right? Because otherwise, Vrindavan, you think there'd probably be more than one Tulsi plant.
Most likely.
You know, I'm saying if there's one tree. You don't call a forest after one tree.
Mm.
Unless, of course, it's in the desert and there is only one tree, then that might be the...
That is the forest.
Yeah, that... it's as good as it gets. You are the friend of all suffering humanity, and for great personalities, it is necessary to show mercy to the foolish. Therefore, I think that you will show your causeless mercy to persons like us, who engage in your service. O best of the great personalities, I am not at all afraid of material existence. For wherever I stay, I am fully absorbed in thoughts of your glories and activities. My concern is only for the fools and rascals who are making elaborate plans for material happiness and maintaining their families, societies, and countries. I am simply concerned with love for them. Srila Prabhupada comments. Those who are Krishna conscious, trying to serve the Lord, are not unhappy. Whereas one who has no assets in Krishna consciousness is struggling for existence, and is struggling for existence is not only foolish, but extremely unhappy also. Vladimir's was happy and unhappy simultaneously. He felt happiness and transcendental bliss because of his being Krishna conscious. Yet he felt great unhappiness for the fool and rascals who make elaborate plans to be happy in this material world. Right. So, yes. So being Krishna conscious, he has no fear of the material energy. Because the energy itself is dead matter. So there's nothing to fear.
Can you say that for non-devotee, Maya is presenting distraction, but for the devotee, Maya is presenting instruments to serve?
The point is what is she presenting?
Maya means...
Maya is presenting, but what will she present?
Matter, something...
Something important, something nice, something useful, right? You know, it's not like she comes out and you're starting to chant, she comes out with this old empty can of beans where the labels have to, you know, they pulled off and it's full of old potato peels and goes, hey, what about this? Right? Would that work? You would stop chanting your japa and go running after that?
No.
No, okay. So she's going to present something that has some value and use in engaging the senses.
Yes.
Yes or no? Okay. Right? Okay. So then, the point is that could also be used in Krishna's service. So what Maya presents to us, when we're attached not to Krishna, then is illusion, then it becomes Maya. But the same things presented before the devotees, then they see opportunities to serve Krishna. So there is no Maya. Where's the Maya? Does that make sense? And besides that, she doesn't need to present things that aren't useful in devotional service, so therefore she'll only arrange for devotional things that are useful in devotional service. Prahlad Maharaj continued, my dear Lord Narsingadev, I see that there are many saintly persons indeed, but they are interested only in their own deliverance. Not caring for the big cities and towns, they go to the Himalayas or the forest to meditate with vows of silence, Mount of Vrata. They are not interested in delivering others. Oh, that was him. Oh, okay. Tony, where did that come from? Okay. As for me, however, I do not wish to be liberated alone, leaving aside all these poor fools and rascals. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. Therefore, I wish to bring them back to shelter at your lotus feet. Verse 44, footnote 42. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns this verse to Bhagavad Arkamrithi Mala, chapter 15, entitled Analysis of Favorable Conditions for Bhakti. Bhakti Anukulya Bichar, which is in the Abhideya section of the Thakur's book. So here's having that desire to benefit the other living entities in the world with Krishna consciousness, then that is considered favorable for devotional service. Because that's the mood of the Lord. He's trying to benefit them. So if the devotee is assisting in that, that becomes very beneficial for devotional service. Yes? Well, pretty good. Srila Prabhupada comments. Prahlad Maharaj says clearly, Nanyam tad asya sharanam brahmato nupashye. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. One wanders within the universe, life after life, but by the grace of a devotee, a servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one can get the clue to Krishna consciousness, and then not only become happy in this world, but also return home back to Godhead. That is the real target in life. The members of the Krishna conscious movement are not at all interested in so-called meditation in the Himalayas or the forest, where one will only make a show of meditation, nor are they interested in opening many schools for yoga or meditation in the cities. Yes, and then this morning was, you know, we should be doing it. Yes. Yes, rather every member of the Krishna conscious movement is interested in going door to door to try to convince people about the teachings of Bhagavad Gita as it is. The teachings of Lord Chaitanya. That is the purpose of the Hare Krishna movement. The members of the Krishna conscious movement must be fully convinced that without Krishna, one cannot be happy. Thus, the Krishna conscious person avoids all kinds of pseudo-spiritualists, transcendentalists, meditators, monists, philosophers, and philanthropists. Because they're not actually real. They're Krishna conscious, it's real. But if they're not, it's not actually real. So the point is, as we said, if you use these methods, you have to be very careful, otherwise people can get distracted by them. That's the whole point. Because especially nowadays, you can say, oh no, but people are doing this, but is it their lifestyle? No, because if someone's actually a yogi, he's already doing that. So that's not the medium is there. He's doing yoga, and if there's something that the lack of satisfaction, or by pointing it out, he contemplates and sees it, then he'll add Krishna consciousness to whatever his lifestyle. But if we use yoga or these other things, then with time they change. And then what are you going to do? You know what I'm saying?
There's also the risk that what should be a Kratvartha becomes a Purusharta.
Yes.
Because you make that specific effort in that specific.
Yes, yes. Because then if you figure if you do this nicely, then it will attract more, it will get better, and this and that. But actually, that's not the point. Because if that was the thing, then why aren't people all flocking to, you know, where the yogis are? Like that. But if you go to those ashrams, there's not that many people.
Yes.
The more serious, the less people. Like that. So it's just something to do, something to... Because the point is people are only doing yoga because the idea it will either be better for their health, right? And better health means sense gratification, or that maybe the mind will be a little peacefuler, so therefore they can enjoy sense gratification. Because otherwise, when they're at work, they're not complaining that they're in anxiety. What they're complaining about is after that, they can't relax, they can't eat, they can't sleep, they can't... That's the problem. So they can't enjoy themselves. They're not complaining that the thing causing the problem. Right? You know what I'm saying? So that's it's like a, how you say, smoking. Smoking's bad for them, right? So therefore now it's the fashion that you use a cigarette holder. You know? Because the cigarette holder then you know, cools or use a hookah, you know, it catches, it cools the smoke or like that. Or I remember, how do you say, some of the had, it was a special one that it would catch the nicotine. Like that.
Yeah, the filter.
Yeah, the filter itself. Not the filter on the cigarette.
No, the filter on
the stick, like that. And the amount of stuff in there is ridiculous. And the amazing thing is they didn't connect that's all in their lungs, you know, like that. Because I think that, because only while it was in fashion was the person using it. Like that. And then when it went out of fashion, they stopped using it. In fact, they exclusively only smoked non-filtered cigarettes.
Right? Are they still with us?
No. Died of leukemia at 50.
Go figure. Go figure.
Yeah. What happened?
Came out of nowhere.
Yeah. Not only that, it was pell-mell. You know? Okay, members of... Okay. Pladmars continued. Right? So in other words, we're not impressed by the secondary. If the secondary worked for preaching, but what we're delivering is pure Krishna consciousness. But if we don't... So I've been yoga studio and they say, you know, don't say anything like that. How long have you been running classes that people are here, been coming for 6 weeks and they still haven't introduced Krishna consciousness. So they're worried that, well, if we introduce it, they'll go away. But so that means that the yoga studio is not technically for preaching, it's for collecting people to come.
So they're already away.
They're not there. Yeah. So that's the interesting thing. Is that, you know. And then you can talk nice things and, you know, they'll appreciate it, but at the same time as whether they'll take to it, because where's the association? Because after you talk, then they don't. Remember, that was at the city yoga centers. If you go out into the country ashram yoga centers, they actually like what we're doing. You know, it's just that they have their attachment for what they're doing, but they like what we're doing. So you can talk straight Krishna consciousness, but put it in the context of yoga, and they can appreciate it. They like the prasad, they like the things. You use all the things, karma yoga, naishkarmya, and this and that. And they know what you're talking about. Right? Because they study Gita, they study all these things. Okay. Pladmars continued, sex life is compared to the rubbing of two hands to relieve an itch. Huh? Well, he can look at it like that. Because everybody else thinks, what do you mean? No, there's so... I can't remember who it was that gave the example. I don't know if it's something from Shastra. I think it's from Shastra. Someone's going, he says it's like taking, you know, an object and rubbing it on the wall. You know, that's like dead matter, and somehow or another it's great. So the point is, you ever notice when you have an itch, when you scratch it, it doesn't go away. So that's his point. Grihamedis, so-called grihastas, who have no spiritual knowledge. So that's the definite. Grihamedi means grihasta without spiritual knowledge. Mm-hmm. Right? Think that this itching is the greatest performance of greatest platform of happiness. Although actually it is a source of distress. Right? Because the more one's involved in there, the more the difficulties come. Right? Yeah. The kripanas, the fools who are just the opposite of brahmanas, are not satisfied by repeated sensuous enjoyment. Those who are dhira, however, are sober and who tolerate this itching are not subjected to the suffering of fools and rascals. Right? So the kripanas, the misers, so they will, how do you say, engage the senses, but the problem is the taste of the senses, or the rasa of the senses, partiva rasa, can only be experienced when the sense and the sense object are touching. As soon as they're disconnected, there's no experience anymore. So why would one be satisfied? Right? The transcendental, one can always be connected. Therefore, one can always be satisfied. Even with the mind, one can be connected more than with the senses. right? Because just thinking about something, it can put you in that particular state. You know, at least for this body. And then when you change the body, then of course that's gone. But or within this body, you know, things change, socially things change, and so then that experience. But it can last for longer. So the shortest is the senses, right? So, you know, you put something in your mouth, you taste it, and when you swallow it, that's it, it's gone. Right? You know, I've heard this, sometimes the kids, they would have, there would be a feast, and then, you know, they'd walk back, and then when they get back, they'd be washing their mouths and stuff, and they say, what are you doing? You're supposed to do that over there. You know, everybody else did it over there. He says, no, but it tasted so good, I wanted to leave the taste. You know, okay. Right? I never heard of have you heard in the West, the sense enjoyers, they try that one?
They don't wash.
They don't wash, but it's not because of
the taste. They leave it in their beard and then they taste it
later. Oh, yeah. Well, that's another thing. Yes, that's important.
Or just leave it behind.
Oh, okay. Stick it in the side. A piece of paneer, right? Or something.
You really want to know what they do in the West.
No, we don't.
Sure you don't.
So. Yep, no, I don't. Yep. We only say these just for some interest's sake. We don't, you don't really want to know. Okay. So therefore, they can't actually, the opposite of Brahmins, because they can't come to the transcendental platform, because they're always looking for the sense gratification, and it can't give any pleasure. That's the whole point. But then, who's Dhira, those who are sober and tolerate this itching, right, they're not subjected to the sufferings of fools and rascals.
Yeah.
So, that can mean two things. One, Dhira meaning they're renounced, so they're not involved in household life, or it means that they're Dhira, and so even in household life, they're not involved in sense gratification because of the itch. They're just following their duties, and so engaging the senses according to their duties in the Lord's service. So then the senses are engaged, but they don't give all the problems. Does that make sense?
The senses are not dictating.
The senses aren't dictating. Duty is dictating, and devotional service is dictating. Right? So, devotional service means you engage your duties. So, whatever, so grihasthas, then they have duties that are more engaging the senses. Like that. So, but that's Dhira. So the devotee is Dhira. So someone like Prahlad Maharaj, he's Dhira. Even though he's in family life, the kshatriyas, but still, it's all about devotional service. Right? So we can see is the senses are engaged in devotional service, but it's a matter of engaged, according to the rules and regulations that devotional service gives. So it's about pleasing Krishna, not about the senses. Right? You're engaging the senses, but to please Krishna. Is that something? Srila Prabhupada comments, materialists think that sexual indulgence is the greatest happiness in this material world, and therefore they make elaborate plans to satisfy their senses, especially the genitals. This is generally found everywhere, and specifically found in the Western world, where there are regular arrangements to satisfy sex life in different ways. Actually, however, this has not made anyone happy. Even the hippies, who have given up all materialistic comforts of their fathers and grandfathers, cannot give up the sensual happiness of sex life. So, because the whole idea that hippies were giving up the status quo. Mm. So they weren't engaged in all this corporate life or all this kind of, you know, how you say, aristocratic kind of thing where it looks like it's nice, but actually it's, how you say, they're not nice people. It's just a show. So they wanted something real in that, giving up the status quo. And so they don't dress in all the nice things, live in the nice places, do all the different things that are prestigious and gain wealth and everything. But they still follow the status quo despite the thing of sexual indulgence. Right? So that's you know, very lofty in their ideals. Right? Like that. You know, so it's just, how you say, the corporate people would probably call it sex, but the hippies call it love, so it sounds just so much better. But otherwise, same thing.
When we were discussing this thing with Srila Govinda Mataji, we were saying...
Srila Govinda Mataji.
Sri Radha Govinda.
Sri Radhe Govinda. Radha Govinda Mataji.
Yes, we know. And we were saying that because we were doing this course, this seminar for Vihata.
Okay.
So we were saying about this, that technically two souls are not able to, like, kind of like, because the seek, like, why are they called as love? Because they were seeking relationship, but technically you can't have that kind of close relationship with the other soul, because everyone is Krishna's part and parcel. So technically this whole thing is just...
That's an illusion. But the point is, this one can do service together. And so it just happens to be, if your service is that of Grihastha Ashram, and so Grihastha Ashram generally means that there's a couple, right? Because it's not recommended one's a Grihastha without being married, right? And so then they can, on the position of doing devotional service, then there can be a closeness. But it happens to take the medium of husband and wife. But it's not that the relationship of husband and wife is that of the two souls. So that's why I probably didn't buy the soulmate concept. You know, it just doesn't, you know. Soulmate generally means that astrologically on the chart, when you do the compatibility, then you get a 4 out of 4 on sexual compatibility. That's called soulmate.
And they're ready to destroy the world.
Yeah, but they're too busy, you know, destroying themselves. Okay.
Okay. Yoko.
Yes. Such persons are described here as kripanas, misers, right? So that would really make a hippie feel bad, right?
Yeah.
Call them a miser, yeah. The human form of life is a great asset, for in this life one can fulfill the goal of existence. Unfortunately, however, because of lack of education and culture, people are victimized by the false happiness of sex life. So kripana means you're a miser, you're not using what should be used. Like, if you have money and you don't use it, that's a miser. Mm-hmm. So you have senses and everything, the intelligence, mind, body, that's supposed to be used in Krishna's service, but you don't use it. That's a kripana. We're not saying that he's not giving in charity and this and that. You know, as far as sharing things, hippies were quite good with this. But the point is that the actual purpose of these is for Krishna. So you're not spending it for Krishna. That's a kripana. Right? You also have the points applied to those who, you know, about their money and stuff also.
I'll do that.
Oh, okay. Prahlad Maharaj continued, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, there are 10 prescribed methods on the path to liberation. To remain silent, not to speak to anyone, to observe vows, to amass all kinds of Vedic knowledge, to undergo austerities, to study the Vedas and other Vedic literatures, to execute the duties of Varnashram Dharma, to explain the Shastras, to stay in a solitary place, to chant mantras silently, and to be absorbed in trance. These different methods for liberation are generally only a professional practice and means of livelihood for those who have not conquered their senses. Because such persons are falsely proud, these procedures may not be successful. 46, footnote 43. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns this verse to Bhagavad Arkamrichi Mala, chapter 13, entitled Sadhana Bhakti, executed exclusively by taking shelter of the holy name. Aikantiki Nam Ashraya Sadhana Bhakti, which is in the Abhideya section of the book. So here's that using this in the service of the Lord is what one would want to do. But the point is it's taking shelter of the holy name, not of these other things. Right? We may perform these other things, but we're not taking shelter of them. The real process is only chanting the holy name. That's there. But because we have to engage in activities, there's culture interaction, these ones are your standard activities on the devotional path. Though there may be slight difference in the definitions. Right? So to remain silent and not to speak anyone means you're silent means you don't speak anything that's not Krishna conscious. Right? So being engaged in Krishna consciousness by preaching, that's the real silence. That's the real mauna. Like that. Right? To observe vows, so we have our specific vows that we're not standing on our toes in talasana like Hiranyakashipu or something like that. You know, we're following our vows in Krishna consciousness, what is our standard activities. The pancharatric activities as recommended by the acharyas. Right? Amass all kinds of Vedic knowledge means that knowledge in connection to Krishna. Right? To undergo austerities, we perform our duties. To study the Vedas and other Vedic literatures, then, if it has some context and use in connection to Krishna consciousness or understanding Krishna, then we're interested. If not, in other words, someone may be able to see it in connection with Krishna, they study it like that, nice. Someone else can't see, they don't study it. Like that. But the point is, it's not that having the knowledge is what's good for you. It's knowing Krishna. That's what's important. Okay. Execute the duties of Varnashram. You're situated there. You have to be situated in some way. There's no better way to be situated. Why we would throw out the best system and accept a inferior system and say it's so much better? Yeah. To explain the Shastras, right? So when explaining the Shastras, as long as one's explaining about Krishna, it's a value. But if you're just talking about Shastras and not talking about Krishna, then, you know, we're not interested. To stay in a solitary place. Solitary means where there's no Maya. So we may be in a solitary place. We only stay in the temple. We don't necessarily go out unless we're preaching. But there may be another 50 people in that same house. Right, so in that way, but here they solitary means no one's there. But our point is that there's no one engaged in material activities there. Right, like coming to the Dham, it's a solitary place because who comes here? They're only interested in devotional service. Right, they're not coming for any other reason.
No,
right?
Why would they?
Yeah, so that's the point. Right? To chant mantras silently and to be absorbed in trance. So. The point is chanting silently then is good for us. The meditation, the focus has to be greater. Like that. But the problem, and being in trance, then being absorbed in Krishna, that's fine. But the point is then if we also chant out loud, then it works so much better. Right? Does that make sense? You know, and the trance doesn't mean we're just sitting down and not doing anything like was recommended this morning. But we are absorbed in Krishna while we're active. As loud as possible. Yeah, that's it. He would do the loudest, because he'd chant 3 lakhs. So 1 lakh is japa, 1 lakh in the mind, and 1 lakh, you know, yeah, like is kirtan. So he'd always do the kirtan one at night when everyone was asleep. So. That way, you know, it's quiet enough everybody be able to hear, right?
Yeah,
so.
get the most effect.
Yeah. So they do this as a livelihood, right? It's they're performing their duties. If you're doing all these things like this, then it's either in ashram, then you would be in a more advanced position as a Brahmin, as a Vanaprastha Sannyas, or as a Brahmin from the Avarna side. Or on the ashram side, generally Vanaprastha Sannyas, or if you're a Brahmin, that all naturally is there within Grihastha. But it's how you'll maintain yourself and how people will respect and interact and take care. Right? So, it's not seen like that. It's seen that you're being Krishna conscious. You're doing what pleases Krishna by preaching. Right? The other things just come as a side thing. So that's not the point. But, for the materialist, they may be doing it because of the benefits that they get. They may not be overtly obvious to them in their mind, but underneath them, that's the element. Srila Prabhupada comments. The 10 processes for liberation or improvement on the path of liberation are not meant for the devotees. Kevalaya bhaktya. If one simply engages in devotional service to the Lord, all 10 methods of liberation are automatically observed, right? So in other words, we're not following the process for liberation. We're performing bhakti. They're automatically taken care of. Just like if we're cooking for Krishna and honoring prasad, then automatically we're eating and the senses are engaged. Right? But we're not doing it so that we can eat and the senses are engaged. We're doing it to please Krishna. Does that make sense? So it's already included, because otherwise someone would say, see here, the executing the duties of Varnashram Prabhupada says here, these are not for devotees. But yeah, it means as a process, they use it that's their process. That's how they're going to get themselves to the liberated platform. It's their process. For us, it's not our process. It's just the culture. That's what we follow.
So again, it's a confusion between primary and secondary.
Yes, like that. So for they want liberation. So that's the primary for them, and so they use the other aspects in connection.
And then you fight devotees think that if it's not the primary, that means I throw it out.
Yeah, either it's not the primary, I throw it out, or since it's about the primary, it's not about the secondary, so it doesn't matter what secondary you use, so therefore I'll use whatever secondary pleases me.
Yes.
So that's Niyamagraha. That's one or the other. Like that. Yes.
We don't follow Vedic culture, we follow Vaishnava culture.
So how would they define the difference here? It's true, but how would they define it? Because, see, it's true, but is their definition about how we follow Vaishnav culture, that means we don't follow Vedic, we follow Western culture. Because if we're following Vaishnav, where'd the Western come from?
They're saying it's neither Western nor Vedic, it's Vaishnav.
We do give them the name Yogi Pants. We don't say Vaishnav Pants. And it's also called health food, not Vaishnav food. Right? So it means if you look at it, it's just, what do they mean by it? If they're trying to get people to get, in other words, if it's used that somebody's getting distracted by, let's say, astrology, and they're saying, we're not worried about the Vedic, we're worried about Vaishnava, then that's a correct application of it. But if it's meaning, oh, we don't follow all these Vedic rules, we just do whatever we like, then that's just cheating. They have to know what it means. Vaishnava means you follow the recommended process. Like that. Prabhupada gave us the Vedic culture, expected us to practice Varnashram. So if we don't follow that, how are we following what Prabhupada wants? And then to say, oh no, but you know, it says here we don't follow that. Prabhupada says, then why does he talk about so much about it being followed? That's the whole thing. You have to be able to put that all together. So it depends on the angle that it's being used. It could be used either way. You know, we're saying, oh, the authority of it's because it's Vedic. No, we don't care for that. It's because our acharyas have given it to us. That's why it is. Because the Vedas have so much knowledge. So which aspect of the Vedas are we going to follow? How are we going to follow it? So what our acharyas give us, that's what we follow. Now, why are they picking it? Because that's what's useful in Vaishnava culture. So in this way, we're following Vaishnava culture. But the point is all culture is coming from, the form of it is Varnashram. They follow the spiritual world. Nanda Baba is what Varna?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they go every year to pay taxes in Mathura to the... Right. And Krishna, the elder gopis and others respect Maru Mangal because he is a...
Brahma.
Right. You understand? So that's the thing. We can say this Varnashram, it's not Vaishnava, is it? But they follow it in the spiritual world. It's just not primary, it's secondary. But we have a tendency, it's either zero or all, everything. It's either it's all Varnashram, the better you follow it, then you'll be a good devotee, or we're devotees, we don't follow it at all. We can't get anything in between.
Smart to Sahaja.
Yeah, smart to Sahaja. So that's the problem. I can't remember what it was. I think the intellectual sahajiyas are owls. You have owls, bowels, sahajiyas. There's a group of group, and they're like the four varnas within within the whole kind of sahajya thing. So the you know, kind of have the vanaprasthas, they have their renounced ones, and this, so they do have their more intellectual like that. So you do have that combination. Prahlad Maharaj's proposal is that such processes may be recommended for the Ajitendriya, those who cannot conquer their senses. Devotees, however, have already conquered their senses. So we're not following them as a process for conquering the senses. We're just engaged in devotional service. Nothing that a potato wouldn't solve. Prahlad Maharaj continued, by authorized Vedic knowledge, one can see that the forms of cause and effect in the cosmic manifestation belong to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for the cosmic manifestation is His energy. Both cause and effect are nothing but energies of the Lord. Therefore, O my Lord, just as a wise man, by considering cause and effect, can see how the fire pervades wood, those engaged in devotional service understand how you are both the cause and effect. Because he's behind everything. Everything's supposed to be engaged, connected to him. He's the potency in which it can be, it, that activity can be performed and that result be gotten. Right? So, something, you can get an effect because there are elements that by, there's elements and processes by which you can gain that effect. So, those are the, those potencies of Krishna. The effect that it can transform into something else is also Krishna. So, O Supreme Lord, you are actually the air, the earth, fire, sky, and water. You are the objects of sense perception, the life airs, the five senses, the mind, consciousness, and false ego. Indeed, you are everything, subtle and gross, the material elements and anything expressed. Either by the words or by the mind are nothing but you. Neither the three modes of material nature, Sattvagun, Rajagun, and Tamagun, nor the predominating deities controlling these three modes, nor the five gross elements, nor the mind, nor the demigods, nor the human beings can understand your lordship, for they are all subjected to birth and annihilation. Considering this, the spiritually advanced have taken to devotional service. Such wise men hardly bother with Vedic study. Instead, they engage themselves in practical devotional service. Right? So that would mean, oh, so we don't study. No, they don't study the Vedas to become knowledgeable in the Shastra. They perform devotional service, which is hearing and chanting about the Lord. Therefore, then those Shastras that are hearing and chanting about the Lord, that's what they're studying. But it's hearing and chanting, it's not Vedic study. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point.
It may look the same.
Yeah, it may look, because otherwise, yeah, it may look the same, or some may take it, oh, see, we don't have to study. We just do service. Like that. I know back in the 70s, this was an extremely popular point amongst temple presidents. They were caught you reading a book. It says, we're not jnanis, we do practical devotional service.
Still some places.
Yeah, still some, yeah. Okay. 47-49, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, knowledge will manifest by bhakti to you and not by study of scriptures, right? So understanding the Lord will come by the service, not by the knowledge you have. Right? Intelligence and, okay, well, not by study of scriptures, intelligence and skill. Because right, we're taking it, if we have skills and intelligence, then we'll get everything. And we're avoiding the scriptures. And then we'll say that the skill and intelligence will get bhakti. Right? But all three together won't give you bhakti. Right? So intelligence and skills not based on the scriptures is really not going to get you bhakti. You know? Like that. Yeah. If these persons do not know you, then how will the ordinary jivas, right? Because these are the ones that study scriptures, are intelligent, and have skills. If they don't know you, how will the ordinary jivas know you after considering all things by mind, intelligence, study, and teachings of scripture? After considering this, the wise have given up all these methods. Right? So that's what's confusing. They've given it up, but what have they given it up? They've given it up where the goal of it is something different than serving Krishna. So if it has a value in the service, it's part of your duties and it's valuable, then of course you would do it. But if it's not, you won't do it just because you're interested. You know what I'm saying? Just for interest's sake. Srila Prabhupada adds, if one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead and engage in His service, there's no more need of severe austerities, penances, and so on. However, if after performing severe austerities and penances, one does not understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, such practices are useless. Right? So the devotee, how you say, by performing service understands the Lord, so therefore all the severe austerities, all these things aren't necessary. But if someone's doing these austerities and doesn't get Krishna, then what's the point? Right? In other words, they don't have any importance on their own. All the things that in the material world are considered valuable are useless if they're not connected to Krishna, if they don't some way help you in Krishna consciousness. You can say they will, but we have to see, is that based on the service that will be rendered or based on our own attachment to those particular values? Because then if we're saying, okay, money, but then also what about power? What about all these other different things that are age and this? Do we care for all of them? So if we're saying, no, all of these can be used in the Lord's service, and here's an opportunity for this one, you should take it. But if they only focus on that and the other ones aren't so important, then why is this one important? Is it really because of the devotional service, or is it because of their attachment? Right? So now we're only saying this to define pure devotional service, because engaging that in the Lord's service will purify them. It is service and it will bring them to the pure platform. But if you know that, it will be quicker, right, and less turbulent. Because if you don't know the difference between what your mixed devotional service and pure devotional service, then the path of mixed devotional service can be quite turbulent. While if you know the difference, your goal is that pure devotion, you know you're on the path of mixed, and you're trying to engage that in the Lord's service, that will be less of a disturbance. And any disturbance that does come up, easier to see connected to Krishna. Does that make sense? Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi.